Good morning and Happy New Year. Today, the beginning of a new year, is a wonderful time for stopping to reflect on our lives, to review the year that has just passed and make plans for the new year ahead. The great thing about walking with God in life is that there is always the opportunity to start anew. God always offers us a new day and a new dawn, no matter what has passed. At the start of this new year, let's take a moment to thank our Lord for last year, ask His forgiveness for where we have failed, and dedicate this new year to Him, to serve Him, and love Him. Please bow your head for our opening prayer. Lord, You make all things new. You bring hope alive in our hearts and cause our spirits to be born again. Thank You for this new year, for all the potential it holds. Come and kindle in us a mighty flame, so that in our time many will see the wonders of God and live forever to praise Your glorious name. Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor. You are quick. You already got back to your seats. I was going to tell you that as you return to your seats, I'll give you some quick announcements. Please mark your calendars for several things. Next Sunday is Epiphany Sunday, so I'm not sure if it is in the bulletin, but just a reminder to bring a candle, any candle, with your name on the bottom. And for those that have been here, you recall what we do, and those that are new, what we do, there will be a nice little altar table here, and you bring your candle, and they will be lit for Epiphany Sunday. And then at the end of the service, you're actually going to take another candle, not the one you brought, and then you will pray for those, that family, that name or that family for the remainder of the year. And it's just a really nice way to stay connected to our church family. Also, as normal, I do ask that you sign the registration sheets in the red folder located at the end of your pew, pass it to others, and bring it back to the center aisle. And if you do have a prayer request this morning, there are 3.5 by 5 index cards. Please complete that card, put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew. Mark your calendar date. We have a church cleaning day. Becky has coordinated a church cleaning day, all church cleaning, January 21st. That is a Saturday, and it'll start at 9 a.m. Of course, we have a big church. We have a gorgeous church, and for it to remain so, we have to get into those nooks and crannies. So we are looking for volunteers, young and old. You'll be assigned a different area within the church, and bring your buckets and your rags and anything else that will help you clean the church. If you do have any particular questions, please contact Becky. A reminder, the women's book study will resume on Wednesday, January 11th. So that's the Wednesday evening women's book study that will resume next Wednesday, January 11th. And Alice has asked me to announce there are some beautiful poinsettias remaining. If you would like to take a poinsettia home with you to care through our winter months, please feel free to come and get yourself a poinsettia after worship. And just a final reminder to check your bulletin. We have plenty of other announcements, meetings, and activities in the life of our church. Now I ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship.
Thank you.
Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Shout to the Lord your praises.
Sing to the Lord your praises.
For God's might and power are established in the universe. Come, let us worship God, whose light bursts forth into our darkness. Please remain standing for our unison prayer that we will say together, that is also printed in your bulletin. God of hope and light, your good news has been emblazoned across the skies. The great starry night of Jesus' birth, sung by angels, celebrated by shepherds, witnessed by animals, you have given to us a new chance, a reminder of your continual love for us. Be with us in this worship, we pray. Guide our thoughts, our lives, our spirits. Heal and restore us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And please remain standing for our first hymn, number 117, in your red hymnal. Be seated.
I'm just going to scoot the chair back over. So, Happy New Year. Did you make any resolutions? Do you know what a resolution is? A resolution is kind of like a promise that you make to yourself. Like maybe, I promise myself that I'm going to make my bed every morning. That's something we really want to try to do, right, moms? Right? Okay. Now, what happens the first time that you forget to make your bed in the morning? Well, yes, your room will be a mess. So do you just say, oh, well, I blew it, and then forget about it the rest of the year? Or do you go back the next day and say, okay, I blew it yesterday, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to make my bed this morning. Which do you think you should do? The second one. That's right. That's right. You know, Jesus knows that we like to keep trying to do things right. Sometimes it doesn't work, but he knows that too. But he wants us to keep trying to do things right and trying to make ourselves better. Isn't that kind of neat? He's always going to be with us, and he's always going to be helping us to keep those promises, or at least to try to keep those promises as best we can. Okay? All right, let's have a prayer. Want to come over here? Since I can't get to you. All right. Yeah, we'll do it this way. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these children. Allow them to bring their joy into the lives of all the people around them. And above all, Lord, help them to keep their promises and have a great new year. In your name we pray. Amen. Now I have a problem. I don't have any candy to give you.
Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song to start off our new year. The word of God this morning is from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Hebrews, starting in chapter 2 with verses 10 through 18. Hear these words. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And may God's blessings be on the reading and hearing of these holy words. And at this time, I ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Blessed God, our mighty provider, we marvel that you care for each of us. Thank you for giving Joseph those dreams, for guidance and a trusting heart to follow you. May we make swift response to your call for compassion for those in need. Bless them through our church's ministries. At this time, we dedicate our tithes and offerings in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
And now is the time for our joys and concerns. I think we all should be joyful that we survived 2016. Do we have any other joys? No one's happy.
Sunshiny.
All right, everybody say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Now smile when you say that. Happy New Year. All right. For all of our joys, we say, Praise the Lord. Now, do we have any concerns? I did not receive any. Anyone have anything we have to particularly pray? Okay, for Patty Hawk and her family. Anybody else? That's not a concern. That's a joy. Happy birthday, Bobby. Anyone else? Traveling mercies for all of those who were away for this weekend, and from the looks of the pews, there's a lot of them. Anybody else? All right, are there any unnamed concerns that you wish to bring to the Lord? So raise your hand. God sees those hands. Thank you. For all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayer. If we could bow our heads, please. Blessed Lord, into our darkness you have brought the light of your love. You've given to us a reminder of the many ways in which you care for us and guide us. This has been a hectic time for so many of us. We've invested ourselves and our energies, and our resources in a flurry of activities, and now we've come to the end of the calendar year and a new year now in view, and we wonder how we're going to have the energy that the new year will demand. Help us place our trust and our lives in your care. As Joseph listened to the angel telling him to follow, help us follow you in all our ways. Give us strength and courage for the times ahead. Let love be the foundation from which all our actions spring. Bless and keep us in your care, for we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm much more comfortable in front of a music stand, so I'm going to move over. I'm going to do something unusual. I'm actually going to look at my watch. That doesn't always happen. Happy New Year to everybody. Did you make your New Year's resolution yet? Have you broken it yet? Oh, okay. A lot of people are smart. They don't even make the resolutions, so they don't have to worry about breaking them. Well, I have a confession to make. I don't make resolutions. Instead, I do something even more dangerous. I make lists. I make lists of the things that I have to do, lists of things that I should do, lists of things that I'd like to do if I really can find time for them. I even make lists of my lists. This is like true confession time. But you know that old saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. God has his own plans for us and for the world. We may not be able to understand those plans, but they're there nonetheless. Jesus knows how we think, because he's our brother, as it said in Hebrews. He knows our strengths and weaknesses because he's experienced them himself. The Hebrew scripture, which was read today, stated this: Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, for surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them. fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of his people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those of us who are tempted today. Jesus didn't plan to die, but he knew that that was God's plan. So he followed the plan, just like Joseph in today's gospel reading. Now, before I read this, I need to give you the prequel. We all know the story of what happened before. The Magi saw a star when Jesus was born, and they knew from their studies of the prophet Daniel that the baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, and there would be some kind of celestial appearance at the time. So they followed the star for several hundred miles. Now, ironically, instead of blindly following their teachings and going straight to Bethlehem, they decided to hedge their bets. And they stopped in to see King Herod if he could give them a shortcut to find where the child was. And at this point, they were only 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem. Why didn't they go straight to Bethlehem? Because it was part of God's plan. Herod didn't know about the child, so he consulted with his advisors, and he told the Magi to find the child and come back and tell him about it so he could go and worship him. The Magi finally found the child in a house in Bethlehem. Jesus might even have been a toddler by the time the Magi got there. But they fell on their knees, they gave them their gifts, and they worshiped him. And then an angel appeared to them and said, "Don't go back to Herod. Go home another way." So they did. But Herod believed the scriptures. And that's why he sent a corps of butchers to Bethlehem to slaughter innocent children in hopes of destroying this rival to the throne. But he was too late. The Magi had come and gone. And Jesus was safe in Egypt. And that's where our gospel reading today begins. Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15 says, "When the Magi had departed, an angel from the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you. For Herod will soon come to search for the child in order to kill him.' Joseph got up and during the night took the child and his mother to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod died. And this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, 'I have called my son from Egypt.'" Okay, so the Bible describes how an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and giving him instructions to take Mary and Jesus into Egypt. Now, Egypt was an odd choice. This was where Israel had been held in bondage. It had not been a kind place for infants. But God wanted Egypt to be a refuge for his child. It's important for us to remember that God, when he so pleases, can make the very worst of places serve the best purpose. This was a trial of the faith of Joseph and Mary, but their faith, being tried, was found firm. Yet it was important that Joseph respond to God's direction. Now, there's three characteristics of authentic faith. They're demonstrated here, and it allowed Joseph to lead his family to safety with God's help. As we seek God's guidance and protection in our own lives, we need to understand these necessary actions. First of all, faith acts promptly. When Joseph was warned by the angel to seek safety in Egypt, he didn't decide to sleep on it or consult the experts or otherwise delay. Matthew tells us that he gathered his family in the middle of the night and set out for the safety of Egypt. Faith does not delay unnecessarily. Once we understand what God would have us do, we need to act on it. We must be ready to respond promptly to God's direction. Number two, faith acts obediently. In response to God's command, delivered through the angel, Joseph obeyed the directions precisely. It might have been tempting for him to find a more convenient location, like go to a relative's house, or go to a different country where maybe they were a little bit nicer to Hebrews, a country where maybe he had the same language and customs. But there's no record of Joseph ever raising the first objection. If God wanted him to go to Egypt, that's where he went. How often we may be missing God's best for us by trying to second guess his will and purpose for our lives. Faithful obedience to God allows him to work effectively in our lives, protecting us from dangers of which we may be unaware, and leading us into new and exciting opportunities that maybe we've never even dreamed of. Continuing the reading, when Herod knew that the Magi had fooled him, he grew very angry. He sent soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem and in all the surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. This fulfilled the words spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and much grieving, Rachel weeping for her children, and she did not want to be comforted because they were no more. This is a very difficult passage. Herod was a very, very angry man, and he was very much feared for his many atrocities. Now, if we look at the Hebrew historian Josephus, he never mentions this killing of the children. Now, Bethlehem at that time probably only had, in the areas around Bethlehem, only 1,000, maybe 2,000 people. Figuring the odds, the children two and under, there was probably only maybe 20 or 30 children. And Josephus never mentions this in the annals of Hebrew scriptures. Now, this was probably because Herod had done so much else that was worse. He killed his favorite wife and her father, his sons, and then he had the nerve, as he got closer to the end of his life, he had the nerve to round up 3,000 of the Hebrew leaders and imprison them, and left instructions that when Herod died, they were all supposed to be executed. And the reason was he wanted to make sure that the nation was in mourning when he died. Now, that was really awful. So it's no wonder that 20 or 30 children would have escaped historical notice. The scripture says, after King Herod died, an angel from the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said, and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Those who were trying to kill the child is dead. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus ruled over Judea in place of his father, Herod, Joseph was afraid to go there. So having been warned in a dream, he instead went to the area of Galilee. He settled in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. They had said, he will be called a Nazarene. So now we see the third characteristic of authentic faith that Joseph showed us. Faith acts with trust. It took a lot of faith to gather up his family and escape into Egypt, but I guess it took even more faith to come back to the place that he was fleeing from. When the angel sounded an all clear and instructed him to return to Israel, there was probably some real questions about how wise that decision would be. But without hesitation, Joseph trusted God to protect him and his family, and they set out to return to their homeland. Have you ever sensed God's leadership into a particular course of action, but you just can't see how it'll work out? Does it seem too outlandish or too dangerous or too much of a risk? Some of the most exciting things that happen in your life might be the result of God asking you to walk where you can't see yet, but He can. When we set out in faith, characterized by promptness, obedience, and trust, there's no limits to what God can do in and through us. So as we begin a new year with new opportunities and new challenges before us, that's an important truth for all of us to understand. You know, Tracy, this year's almost over. And it's what a relief.
Well, I never thought I'd get through it all. For some reason, there seemed to be more demands on me and my time than ever before.
I know what you mean. Now we're looking at a new year. I don't know if I'm ready.
Well, I don't think we are ever really ready for what's coming.
I have to admit it. I'm not exactly looking forward to starting another year. I didn't get all the things done I should have gotten done last year.
Well, you know, you can't go back and retrieve all that stuff.
I wonder what will be different this coming year.
Well, I wonder if I will be different this coming year. I wonder if I will be more prepared to do all the things that I have to do.
Quiet your spirits. God is with you. You do not have to finish this year by rushing headlong into a new year. Give yourself some quiet time. Be at peace. God is with you.
I know. I've got to let go of slavery to a schedule and take some time just to be quiet and calm and just to be.
And I've got to take a look at the things that are important and not spend so much time planning and plotting.
Come unto me. You who are weary and find your burdens heavy, I will give you rest.
We come to you this day, gracious Lord, exhausted from all the activities of the season. It seems that we spend so much energy, time, and resources in preparation, and then when it is over, we collapse. We wonder what happened to all the enthusiasm we had. Lord, forgive us for placing our energies in getting and gathering. Give us peace and strength to renew our commitment to you. Remind us again to look around at the many ways in which we can be of service to you by serving others. Help us move forward in our compassion and not collapse in our witness. Heal us, merciful Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Though the world swirls around you and exhaustion threatens you to overtake you, rest your spirits in the great God of all creation who is with you now and forevermore. God will give you strength and restore your spirits.
And please rise now for our final hymn, number 251 in your red hymnal, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain.
before our benediction, just a final reminder, if you would like one of the beautiful poinsettias here on our altar, please feel free to come and get one after worship. And now let us go into the new year with Jesus, common in origin with us. Let us go placing our trust in God, just as Jesus did. And all of God's Christmas people say together,